Hey everyone, welcome to the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. On this podcast, we share some thoughts from our weekly gatherings as home churches, as well as our messages from when we all get together. It's our desire to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we hope that this podcast encourages you to walk in that way. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy this episode. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Caleb and Shannon here with the Motion Church Weekly Podcast, and we are excited to be back with you this week, looking at the Gospel according to John again, and we are moving right through. We are kicking off chapter 11. We did kick off chapter 11 this past weekend with our church family, and getting into one of the last miracles that Jesus did, and so Shannon, share a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is really the pivot point in John's gospel account. As you mentioned, this is the last major miracle. And that's the one thing that we got to remember. This isn't the last, you know, miracle per se that Jesus did. It's the last one that John focuses on with his gospel account. Because remember, his whole point of this gospel account is to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through him is life eternal. That's the whole point, is to show that Jesus is who Christians say he is. And so then his stories, what he uses is to highlight those points. And it's like a progression, which is really cool, which makes this miracle right here so cool, because his miracles go after what John highlights, different aspects of God's covenants and promises and things, and it ends with the preparation for what Jesus is ultimately going to do, is let's go to the cross. So in order for the cross to do what it needs to do, there has to be resurrection. And so this last thing here is demonstrating his power over life and death. And so, that's really the significant part of this story. And we're going to be looking at it. You know, you shared the first section of it. I'll probably actually go through my section twice. It'll be two different sections. And then you're going to put the tail end on this story. So we're kind of going to be looking at this, the events around this last miracle John shares in four steps. But I think they are vital steps to see the lead up to what Jesus is going to do with Lazarus, to see what he says about that event and the response to the event, and then how the religious leaders respond to the event. So it's a really major, important part of John's gospel, and marks that pivot towards the final purpose of Jesus here in his earthly ministry. So,
yeah, that's good. For those of you who don't know where we're at in John chapter 11, this is the part of the gospel where Jesus' friend Lazarus dies here, and so we're going to I'll read a few verses here and there as we're going through this, but just want to share some of the key points we talked about this past weekend with the podcast here. So I'll start reading there in John chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, they sent to Jesus, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" And so right out of the gate here, John gives us some context of who we're talking to, what Jesus thinks about all of this. And so really, really good stuff here. And so we're introduced to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And if you don't know anything about them, you could go back to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And that gives you kind of a picture of Mary and Martha when they met Jesus, and the differences between the two of them, but really the focus isn't about them in this story. It's about Lazarus, which is their brother. Mm-hmm. And we get the picture here that he was a good friend of Jesus. And Jesus loved Lazarus. And so we're told in verse 3, actually we're told twice in this passage, that Jesus loved him. And so verse 3, it says, the sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill, he's sick." And so we're told that Jesus really loved Lazarus. And so his sister sent to him, he's sick. Obviously, this isn't just like a little cold or something. This is a pretty serious illness. They're not just going to tell Jesus he's got the sniffles. And so they sent to Jesus, and they were pretty far away. Because previously, Jesus left the area with the temple, and he went across the Jordan. So he was several miles away from where Mary and Martha were. And so they sent to him and told Jesus that he was sick. And what's interesting is there in verse 4, it says, when Jesus heard it, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And so we get a really cool thing here that Jesus says that he's actually said very similarly before in John chapter 9. I just want to go over there and read this real quick because it's pretty cool that he's said something like this before. In John chapter 9, there was a man who was born blind. It says in John 9 verse 1, he says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered in verse 3, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." And so we're given this idea here that when man looks at suffering, when we look at pain and sickness, and like this man was born blind and Lazarus was sick, deathly sick, we look at that and we're like, oh man, something had to happen here. This was a big, you know, problem with the person. It was a person's fault. And Jesus kind of gives an alternative here. He says it back in chapter 9. He says it here in chapter 11, that the problem in that person's life is going to be for the glory of God. And so, you know, Jesus is saying here that pain can lead to God's glory. And that's a really big key in this story. We're not even to the point yet where Lazarus has died. We're just told that he's sick. And so Jesus comes right out and says that this illness is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And so that's really cool. It's a great reminder that our sufferings and our pain in life can lead to the glory of God.
That's good.
And so we go on, verse 5 back in John chapter 11. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." And you know, this kind of can throw some people off because we're like, man, if Jesus loved these people, why did he not go to them right away? Because he's far away. It's not like he's hopping on a plane and it'll take him a couple hours to get there. No, it's going to take him a couple days at least to get there. And Jesus stayed where he was 2 days longer. And it gives us really some great insight into love, true love, because Jesus, being the Son of God, obviously knows what love is, and he demonstrated his love towards us. And so when he shows that he loves Martha and Lazarus and Mary, Jesus isn't just going to come take the pain away, right? Jesus, we talked about Jesus, he sees the big picture. He knows what needs to happen in order for God to be glorified, because that's what he said. This sickness is going to lead to the glory of God. And so if he would have went right away, it would not have happened the way that God intended for it to happen. It wouldn't have been, like Jesus said, for the glory of God. So he stayed 2 days longer. He allows them to stay in this pain and this hurt that they're experiencing because he loved them. And so, you know, all of this, actually, let's read in verse 7. He said, "Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go again to Judea.'" So he's like, we're going to go back to them now after the 2 days. Mm-hmm. And if just a little reminder, Judea is where Jesus was back in chapter 10, where he almost got killed. They were trying to stone him. And so Jesus is like, we're going to go back to that place because that's where Lazarus is. And so the disciples, they get a little nervous here, and they try to remind Jesus, just in case, you know, Jesus forgot, that he was about to be killed there in Judea. Verse 8, the disciples said, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus, it's crazy. You know, this has a lot of parallels to chapter 9 because Jesus says here in chapter 11, verse 9, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And if we go back to John chapter 9, I'll just read it to you. Right after Jesus said that the works of God would be displayed in this man that was born blind, verse 4, he says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so Jesus references that again, that he is the light of the world. And so he has to go do this because it is the will of God, his Father. And that's the way God's going to get his glory, right? Back to verse 4, he said, "This illness is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Really cool that God is going to be glorified because through Jesus as he does what the Father asks. And so a lot of cool things going on here in this. And so that's Jesus' response. And then Jesus goes and tells the disciples that at that point, Lazarus, he said, verse 11, after saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." And so the disciples, verse 12, said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. If he's just sleeping, he's going to be okay." And 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. So classic, you know, conversation with Jesus. They miss what he's actually saying. A cool thing on that word where Jesus said that he has fallen asleep, that Greek word there, most of the time when it's used in the New Testament, always has this idea of a resurrection coming after it, which is really cool. Like you talked about earlier, the cross would come and there'd be a resurrection. Lazarus, he passed away, but there's going to be a resurrection. And so Jesus knew that, and that's why he used that word. And so Jesus, verse 14, he tells them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." And so Jesus, again, puts the emphasis on them believing. That's John's purpose for the gospel, so that we may believe, so that we may know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that life is found in his name. And so all of this is kind of wrapped up in that big picture that Jesus is heading to the cross. And so there's some things that have happened now that are leading up to that point. And Shannon's going to get into more of that next week on the podcast. And so to kind of end out this portion of the passage, we get to verse 16. And John shares something that Thomas says. He says, verse 16, "So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" And there's some interesting things that people think about this verse. And I don't know what comes to mind when you read that. Shannon, share with us what you had when you when you were reading this.
Yeah, it seems like a really interesting statement here in the midst of this story. You know, we're getting this great, this friend of Jesus has died, and John's sharing this dramatic event, and then also we get this statement, this follower of Jesus, almost like, "All right, well, let's go, that we may die with him." And you're kind of like, what in the world is going on here? And it goes back. We got to remember that John's telling us a story here. He's given us the narrative of who Jesus is and the events that prove this point. And so he's building these things to create the scene, create the tension, to give the reader an idea of what's happening. And remember, you follow the gospel accounts. And that's the other thing too, is John, the Gospel of John isn't in just its own little thing. It's in the Bible. So it's all part of the bigger story. So you got to take those things in as well. And, you know, at this point in time, the disciples are still, they're on fire. They're ready for the big battle between our Messiah who's here, and he's going to lead the masses against Rome, and they're kind of all pumped up and excited, and so, you know, they're expecting something big's going to happen, that, hey, this may be the pivotal event that really kicks it off. And so there's a lot of different viewpoints on this. I always, as I've looked at this and studied this and looked at the bigger story and the bigger account, really up until the point that Jesus gets arrested, they're very kind of cocky and sure with what they think is happening. They're confused by what Jesus says sometimes, because he's like, 1 minute, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, he's the Son of Man, he's using all this messianic language, he's calling himself God. Oh, this is it. And then, oh, wait a minute, he's not doing warrior stuff. He's like healing people, and he's doing things, and they know that him going into Bethany, which is by Jerusalem, where they wanted to stone him. So they're all this tension is there. So you get this sense that Thomas is telling his other disciples, hey, he's gonna go do this thing less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, where they tried to stone him. He's talking about, bringing this guy, possibly, whatever it is he's gonna do, bringing him, awaken him up or whatnot. That's gonna get things going. Come on, let's go with him so that we're gonna die with him. And it's kind of like, the warriors, fellow warriors, going off with their king or their captain into battle, and death is the glory, and they're not saying, yeah, I really want to die so that now I can't defend my home and whatnot. But there's this heroic sense in the heart of a warrior of being willing to die, for your land and your people and your king, and then you almost get this sense of that's what he's doing, and that's gonna build that tension that John is showing here, that everybody's expecting this physical king warrior leading to battle, but Jesus is so much more. There was more to their Messiah than they realized, and that's what's laying this all out. Because like I said, after this event, this is gonna set the precedent towards the cross. And so, yeah, you kind of look at that and you're going, what a weird comment to throw in there. But he's trying to get the scene of where the people are, their thought process is, and that's building the tension of what's getting ready to happen, of what you will be looking at on Saturday, so.
Yeah, that's good. So just want to close out the podcast with a few points of application that we talked about on Saturday, because there was a lot in here. And so first one that we talked about on Saturday was that our prayers won't always be answered the way that we want them to be. You think about Mary and Martha and the way they sent to Jesus, probably expecting him to come right away, or even, heal Lazarus from where he was. I'm sure they probably believed that he could do that. And Jesus, we're told that he stayed, 2 extra days where he was. And so our prayers won't always be answered the way that we want them to be. But with that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't have love for us, that God doesn't love us, because he demonstrates that true love here in this passage as well. In his waiting, he was demonstrating his love. And then, of course, our problems in life can lead to God's glory. I mean, we know that verse in Romans that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so it's just sometimes, people take that verse and they're like, oh, everything's gonna be good, everything's gonna be all right. It's like, no, everything's gonna work out for the good for the ultimate good, not necessarily what we want or what we think would be good. And so just remembering that, pain is a part of life. It's a pain of our story of being on this sin-cursed world. And so, in that, we know that Jesus loves us, and we know that he can be glorified in the midst of our pain. And so, really great passage here that we looked at. Really encouraging. And it's setting the stage for what Jesus is going to do in the coming verses here that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. Shane, you got anything else you want to add before we
No,
close it down?
I think that really was a good overview of what we talked about and what the passage is saying, and it's a great lead up to what we're going to be looking at on Saturday. And as I said, we got to remember, as we're looking at Scripture, we got to remember that it was written in a specific time, for a specific purpose, to a specific people, and to really grasp the significance of what John is sharing here, you have to understand the tensions of what is going on in the culture of their day, the tensions between Rome and Israel, the tensions between the Jewish leadership and the common people. And we saw some of that tension really played out in chapter 9 with the blind man. And really, Jesus is here. He's going to bring out a new covenant people. And it's not based on, you know, your birthright or your social standing, all of these things. And so he's going to ultimately bring a multicultural, multi-ethnic, new covenant people. And this event that's coming up is really, it's giving a shadow of things to come with the cross. So good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, we appreciate you guys listening. And if you have any questions, just shoot them our way, and we'll make sure we take a look at those. And we hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back with you next week on the podcast. See ya. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Motion Church Weekly. As always, head over to our website at motionchurch.life or follow us on social media to keep up with the latest from Motion Church. We hope you have a great week.